Okay, good evening to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this last Sunday in the year 2021, December the 26th, 2021. And God has been with us all year long in every Sunday school class. And he has now brought us to the last Sunday school class of this year. And that is a blessing. And I thank God for all of you who are in the class. We have some people, of course, cannot be with us tonight. That's true in every class, where everyone is unusual for everyone to be in class, especially our class. But I'm grateful for you all who are here, and I'm glad that God, he gathers us together as he sees fit on each and every week. So I'm glad to have started the year with some of you. Some of you came into this class later in the year. Others are very new to the class, but however you got here and whenever you got here, I am glad that you are here. I see Sister Arlene Johnson is now with us in class. Sister Arlene, I had mentioned your name earlier, will probably be reading the passage that I assigned to you in Luke chapter 15. So if you could be ready to read when we get to verses 8 through 10, we would appreciate it. Okay, Arlene? Arlene, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in the name of Jesus, offering unto you praise and glory. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praise. We are thankful unto you, and we bless your name, because you are good. You are good all the time. All the time you are good, and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord God, that even in the down times, you're going to work everything together for good. You have promised us that. We don't understand your ways, Lord God, but we know that you are good. We know that you are wise. We know that you are faithful. We know that you are loving. We know that you know what you're doing. We know that you are a God that we can trust in, and we do trust in. And now, Lord, we are here to hear from you. And we want to be like the tax collectors and sinners of years ago who drew near to hear the words of Jesus. That's what we're doing this evening, Lord, drawing near to hear you. And so we pray, Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to each one of us this evening. We ask you by your Spirit to apply your word to our heart. Make it applicable to each one of us. May it not just be, may this class not just be a gathering for intellectual purposes, but this may it be an encounter with the true and living God. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be, and whatever would hinder us from hearing from you. Dear Lord, we pray, forgive. We pray for one another, for those who are with us this evening, and for those who could not be with us this evening. We pray for every need of every member of this class, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I ask you to use me in thy service. Lead us and guide us in truth, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise and glory forever. In Jesus' precious name, I pray, we pray, amen. Amen. Well, this evening, good evening to those of you who just joined us. This evening, we're going to continue in our study of Luke chapter 15. We're going to move on a little further this evening. My goal is for us to, again, look at verses 1 through 7 and also verses 8 through 10. We have found out by way of introduction, by way of review, that this chapter has to do with Jesus Christ coming to save sinners. That's how the chapter starts out in verse 2, which I said is a theme of the chapter, where verse 2 of chapter 15 says, this man receives sinners. And we just celebrated on yesterday the holiday Christmas, Christmas Day for the Christians. Now, as I said on last week, we don't know what day Jesus was born, and that really doesn't matter. But we are commemorating that God did become a man. whether he was born in September, October, November, or any of those months, and none of those months by name, but whenever he was born, we're just glad that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man, and he came here. There are various reasons he came, but one main reason that the Lord Jesus came is to save us from our sins. Having said that, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and this is what the angel announced years ago on that glorious Christmas morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm just reading this because we did just celebrate Christ's birth on yesterday, but we still want to keep rejoicing that God became a man. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, which is going to fit in with the theme of our chapter, chapter 15, this man receives sinners. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angel, Gabriel, is talking. Well, it's not Gabriel here, it just says the angel. The angel is speaking in Luke 2, verse 10, which says, "Then the angel said to them," that's the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For," and whenever you see those fours in scripture, remember that I said four is usually there, and it answers the question, why? And we could come back with for or because. The angel said, don't be afraid. You say, why not? And then the angel said in verse 10, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And then we would say, well, what are the good tidings? What is to bring us such good joy? Why are you telling me there will be great joy? And then the four, this is why. This is the reason. This is because. Verse 11, "For there is born to you, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now we see in this verse, we see titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see him as Savior. That's the first title given to the Lord here. And not only is it a title, but it's also his name, Jesus. His name is Jesus, which translated means Savior. Jehovah saves. He shall save. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here in Luke 2, verse 11, "There is born to you this day in the city of David," and that's Bethlehem, "a Savior," a Savior. And that's what Luke 15 is going to be talking about, a Savior. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And Christ brings in Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is Jesus Christ. He is Savior, but he's also Messiah, the Anointed One. So right here, early on in Luke, we see where Jesus is born a Savior. Now, when we go over to Luke chapter 15, we see in Luke chapter 15, there are these key words, and we've seen these words before many times in Luke chapter 15, and as a matter of fact, all throughout the Bible in one way or another. Some of the key words in Luke chapter 15, let's look at these key words, and then we'll read our scripture. But we see one of the key words that appears is the word lost. And that appears in verse four. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them?" And then it goes on, and then there's the word lost. And so that is a key word in this chapter, the word lost. But also, praise God, we also see the word find, or the word found, and that's also in verse 4. We keep on, we see lost, we see found, But in verse 5, we also see the word rejoicing. Now, just think for a minute, and we'll say more on this. I'll say more on this as we proceed forward. But when you lose something, what are the emotions that happen? Then when you find something, find something that you were looking for, what are the emotions that follow that are logical? It is rejoicing. And so we see that logic right here, the pattern right here, lost, found, rejoicing. And those would be connecting dots. That which was lost is found, and then there comes a rejoicing. And that word rejoicing is in verse 5. That's where it first appears. But there's also in this passage, in addition to the words lost, found, rejoicing, there is the key word, and this is a theme of this chapter, is the word repent. And the word repent is in verse 7, and verse 10 gives us verse 7, verse 10, and verse 18 gives us the word repent. Now, verse 18 does not use the word repent, but it has there what repentance means. In verse 18, it says, I will arise and go to my father. Let me back up to verse 17, talking about repentance. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, and this is part of repentance, coming to yourself, a recognition of where you are in our lost situation. He came to himself. Then we go to verse 18, and he said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And then verse 20, he arose and came to his father. There's a change of direction. There's a change of heart. There's a change of mind, and that has to do with repentance. Another key word, and we've seen these key words, is the word sinner. Sinner is a key word. That's in verse 7, a sinner who repents. And then when we go to the end of this chapter, towards the end, well, let's stop at verse 24. When we look at verse 24, we see these other key words. Verse 24, for this my son was dead. And that's the key word right there, dead, talking about spiritually dead. This my son was dead and is alive. So dead, spiritually dead, alive, born again in Christ, saved. That's what we say, saved, alive, was once dead. Got ahead of myself right there. Well, right here, verse 24, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Key words there, lost and found, dead and alive. And then the chapter ends in verse 32 with this same thing. You know, it's all throughout this chapter. Verse 32 says, it was right that we should make merry. There's that fits in with rejoicing. It was right that we should make merry. But when he says it was right, it's logical. It makes sense. If you lose something and find something and you connect the dots, you rejoice. Verse 32, you make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. And was lost and is found. So those are key words. Now, most of you, maybe not all of you, but I would say most of you, and that is an assumption. So I'm saying general. You know the meanings of these words. You've been in Christ for some time, and you could talk about each one of these words, not only because you read about it, but you've experienced it. If you're a child of God, you've experienced what it is to be lost. And you know about when you were lost, your lostness. You know about what it is to be found, not just because you read about it or heard about it, but you can tell people, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Those great words also of that great hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's a testimony. Was blind, but now I see. It's a personal testimony. And so we know about these words. We've heard them. We know them. We've experienced them. So why should we spend so much time? Why a whole chapter, 32 verses, talking about these basic foundational words? Well, it is many reasons, but one reason, you have to have the foundation. And the foundation has to be laid solid and firm. Firm and solid. Get that foundation sure and steadfast. And so chapter 15 is going to spend quite a bit of time talking about repentance, lostness, found, saved, rejoicing. Now let's go to 1 Peter, whole Luke 15, and I'm introducing our chapter, but let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go over to 2 Peter, which is towards the back of your Bible, but 2 Peter, the first chapter. Now, like I said, 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we'll be going. 2 Peter chapter 1. And while some of you are trying to get to it, what we're talking about is basic, but it's everything. You know, I pause there because it's basic, but you know, if you don't get those kindergarten steps, and if you don't learn those things in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, primary, those primary lessons, well, you can forget the secondary because you don't have the primary down. So we want to keep the foundation sure. We want to keep going over things over and over again. Although you may say, I know about repentance. I know about being a sinner. I know about being found. I know about grace. I know all of that. But here's Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you're going to notice the word remind appears 1, 2, 3, 4 times in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Just notice the word remind or reminder. Now, if you write in your Bibles, and my Bibles are all written up one way or another, this would be a good word to circle in your Bible if you want to, that word remind, because it's a key word. And that's what we're doing tonight in Luke 15. Now, for some, let me hasten to say this, even though some of us are being reminded, we all had to learn it. We were all in kindergarten. We were all at one time babies. Somebody's in the class today who is a babe in Christ, and they're just learning the things of the faith. So if you're just learning, good. Gotta learn it. I had to learn. I didn't grow up teaching. I had to sit down. I had to learn. Somebody had to feed me. I had to grow. So if this is your first time hearing it and it's new to you, great. We're glad you're here. You need these things. But then for some of you who have been hearing these things from a youth, you've experienced it, you know all about it. Well, Peter lets us know you need to be reminded of those key words that are in Luke 15. So Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, is that right? Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Peter is talking and he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You all see that? So Peter, now you have to go back on your own to see what he was talking about. But Peter is saying here in verse 12, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to tell the class again. That's what Velma is saying. I'm going to say it again. And one thing Velma loves to do is review, because review is good, because it's reminding. reminding. And the more you hear things, the more it becomes embedded in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. So Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind. And look at the word remind. And notice the prefix and the suffix. Re means to do again. You know, return, recycle. All those re words. To do again. Re. So do it again. Do what again? Mind. Bring it to your mind. I'm going to bring it to your mind again. Verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always. I'm going to keep saying it again. As long as you're with Sister Velma, she's going to be saying things over and over and over again. So we can get it and get it good. Get it so it's like second nature to us. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. I know, probably most of you out here know about repentance, know about being a sinner, knowing about being lost, know about being found. That's what Peter says. Though you know, you already know it, and you're already established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So Peter says, as long as I'm living, because he's talking about the tent of his body, as long as I'm in ministry, as long as I'm on this earth, as long as God allows me to teach, and Peter as an apostle, yes, I think it's right. Verse 13, yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, meaning if I live to be whatever, whatever, I'm going to keep stirring you up. I'm going to keep bringing it back again. Repentance, salvation, grace, lost, sinners, all that. Stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. In other words, Peter's saying, I'm not going to be here forever. And Velma says that too. The day will come. And I don't know what day it is, but the day will come where Velma will be off the scene on this earth. I will have to put off my tent. So I want to do my job that God gives me to do, do it well. Because after I'm gone, somebody has to carry on. Somebody has to be established in the faith. Somebody has to heard things so well and so much that they can pass it on. Verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So Peter says, after I'm dead and gone, I want you to remember these things. Let's go back to Luke chapter 15. So here in Luke chapter 15, this is turning out to be quite an introduction, but that's okay. That's part of this reminding. In Luke chapter 15 here, we have met up with these three parables. The audience before the Lord is in two groups. There's the group that drew near to hear him. And that's who Jesus came to save. He came to save sinners, but we know everybody's not going to be saved. Well, who is going to be saved? Generally speaking, it is part of that group, a portion of that group, and really it's all that group that drew near. Now, there would be many that draw near to hear, but all won't necessarily be saved for various reasons. But everyone who is saved did draw near to hear Jesus. At some point in their lives, they drew near to hear the Lord. And so verse 2 says, the Pharisees and the scribes complained, this man receives sinners. And then chapter 15 goes on. Chapter 15 goes on with these parables. A parable is an illustration. A parable is a likeness. A parable is an earthly story about a spiritual truth. There are three parables here. Really, there's one. Actually, there's only one, but it has three different parts to it. We could say it's just one, even though there's three. What are the three? There's the parable of the lost sheep. Then Jesus talks about the lost coin. Then Jesus talks about the lost son. Well, even though he's talking about three different things, he simply says in verse 3, so he spoke this parable. One parable, three parts. But it's one parable because the same threads are going through the whole parable. Repent, sinner, lost, found, dead, alive. That's the whole entire chapter. And we saw from Genesis to Revelation, we saw this on last week, where the Lord is called the Lamb, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God, but he's not the sheep that's lost. The sheep that's lost is us. So we're going to now go into our reading of scripture, but Jesus, as I said last week, he is personified. He is the Lamb of God. And so over and over in scripture, we'll see the Lamb. But we'll see sheep as well. And the sheep refer to us. The sheep usually refers to us. The sheep refers to humanity, and more particular to saved humanity, or those who are to be saved. Well, all the time gets away. Let's read our passage. So I'm going to ask Sister Patricia if she would read for us Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to go right into Arlene. Sister Arlene, be ready to go right into reading verses 8 through 10. Amen.
Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance."
Of what, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents."
Amen. That's a beautiful passage of scripture. Praise the Lord. Thank you, readers. Okay, so let's look at this parable. Well, we've seen the parable of the lost sheep. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. In verse 3, Jesus now talking to the sinners who drew nigh to hear him. And that's who's going to be saved. Those who will draw nigh and hear and keep hearing Jesus all the way to glory. Jesus said, "Follow me." And then in John chapter 10, he says over and over again, "My sheep know my voice. They know me, and a stranger they will not follow." So this following of Jesus and knowing his voice. So here in Luke chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus asks the question. He says, "What man of you, a parable. We've talked about a parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Well, let's stop there. Now, this sheep, how did the sheep get lost? Well, we talked about that last week. Now, remember, it's a parable. Now, if you're really talking about the Lord, you know, and you have to keep in mind, a parable, God doesn't lose anything. But since it's a parable, we can use this as an illustration. But God has never lost anything. So from that standpoint, God doesn't lose things. But from the parable standpoint, this sheep becomes lost. And it says this person, the shepherd, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness. Well, what does that wilderness? We could say, where is the wilderness? Well, the wilderness would be outside the safety camp of God. It's outside the camp. It's in the world, we could say. It's out from under the divine care of the Lord. Well, how did the sheep get lost? Well, as we said last week, sheep wander. Sheep naturally go astray. Isaiah 53 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. That's what sheep do. That's the nature of sheep. They go astray. And if there's not a shepherd to see about the sheep, and this is what I've heard, as I told you all last week, I don't know anything personally about a sheep. Everything I'm talking about, I've heard and I've read. And I believe it based on what I've read and heard. And somebody could say they know it from experience. But the sheep would never find its way back home. The sheep would never get back to the fold if the shepherd didn't come after it. Well, if the shepherd didn't come after that sheep, and it says here in this verse, he goes after the one which is lost. And so we see that shepherd leaving the 99, going after the one which is lost. Then there's a time frame there. And the time frame word is until he finds it. And so where is the lost sheep? Who is the lost sheep? Well, we sing and we've heard, a lot of us, we've heard the song, and I was that one lost sheep. The shepherd went out to search for his sheep, and all through the night on a cold mountain peak, he searched till he found it. In love, he found it, and I was that one lost sheep. Well, he searches until he finds it. Well, that could mean for some people, they are found early in life. For other people, middle age. For other people, old age. For other people, even on their deathbed. But all who are to be saved will be saved. Now, I'm going to ask you that you could do this on your own. But John chapter 17, I would encourage you to read that high priestly prayer of Jesus, where he talks about all that the Father gave to me. And let's go to it. We have time. We don't have a lot of time, but let's go to it. John chapter 17. Because we are that lost, we were those lost sheep. And it could be possibly, could even be possibly possible that someone in class is still that lost sheep. That's possible, because when you ask, I'm trying to get to John chapter 17, where are the lost sheep? Where are they? Well, they're off in the wilderness. Well, what is that wilderness? Well, the wilderness is being away from the safety of God. But the wilderness could be anywhere. The wilderness could be at the grocery store. The wilderness could be in school. The wilderness could be at work. The wilderness could be in traffic. The wilderness is anywhere in life where you're separated from God, from the safety, from the salvation of the Lord. And so this shepherd in Luke chapter 15, he lost what that sheep that was lost, he goes after. And those are beautiful words. That shepherd is going to go after that sheep which is lost. And he's not going to give up. He's going to go after that sheep until he gets tired, until it's dark, until he says, I got to go home. I've already searched up, can't find it. No, that shepherd looks for that sheep until he finds it. Now, when you look at John chapter 17, and this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, what we call this high priestly prayer, you're going to notice the phrase, verse 2. Let's start at verse 2. Jesus is praying, and I'm going to read the red letter beginning at verse 1. Father, now let me preface this by saying this is a prayer of Jesus. And Jesus gives us the words of his prayer. Jesus had a lot of prayers. He prayed all night long. He prayed all the time. But most of his prayers, we don't know what he was saying. We don't know. But here in John chapter 17, all that red letter from verse 2, from verse 1, all the way to verse 26 is a prayer of Jesus. And he's praying. We have his words here, praying for you and praying for me. And he's praying for the sheep. Now, some of them were lost when he's praying. Others, we'll see, were found, had already been found. Well, John chapter 17, verse 1, the prayer of Jesus. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give, and this is what I want you to notice, that he, Jesus, should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So notice that it says there that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. In other words, the Father has given to Jesus a group that will be saved. Those are the sheep that will be saved. They are given to Jesus, and he will save everyone that's supposed to be saved, will be saved. He's going to go after that sheep until he finds it. Now, this is a mystery here, and we don't understand it all. We are to proclaim the gospel to everyone. We're supposed to tell everyone about Jesus. But the scripture has us to know on the other side of the coin, there is an elect group that has been destined by God, the Father, to be saved. And of that group, all that the Father has given to Jesus, they will come to him. So let me read John 17, 2 again. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that Jesus should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And then let's skip down to verse 6. And I want you all on your own, because we don't have a lot of time in class, and I want to get to the parables. On your own, go through John 17 and look for those words, I have given him. Over and over again, you're going to see given, the ones God has given to Jesus. And of that group, all those given to the Son will be saved, okay? So John chapter 17, verse 6, here's another example. John 17, verse 6, Jesus is praying. And Jesus says, I have manifested your name. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to not glorify himself, but to glorify the Father. So verse 6, I have talked about you, Lord, Father. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And so that's the group that has been saved, destined by God. to be given to Jesus as gifts. Men, that means men, women, boys, and girls that are ordained by God, elected by God, predestined by God to be saved. But still, let's go back to Luke. Still, the gospel is still to be preached and proclaimed to all humanity. And anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. There will not be anyone who wants to be saved and will be lost. If you really want to be saved, the price has been paid. So back to this lost sheep here. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, the shepherd goes after that one which was lost. Now you need to go back in your own life. Can you remember when you were lost? I remember when I was lost, even though I was saved at an early age. I was in church, I could say, all my life. But I really, really, there came a time of awakening. There came a time of quickening. I knew about Jesus. I had heard about him. You know, I heard about him from a young age in church. I knew about the Lord, but he came after me. There was a time in my life where, and your life too, where the shepherd sought you and found you. And that is our testimony. Now, I can't tell you the day I was saved. I don't know that. But I do know I once was lost and now I'm found. I do know the shepherd found me. I didn't find him. And I believe most of you out here who are saved know if Jesus hadn't found me, and you think about in your life, if the Lord hadn't saved us, if the Lord hadn't found us, if the Lord hadn't searched for us, where would you be? Where would you be in life? And that's something to think about. If your course of life would have gone the ordinary way, where would you have been? The shepherd came. He came seeking for us, and he found us. So Luke chapter 15 talks about that lost sheep in verses 1 through 7. And then when he finds that sheep in verse 6, verse 5, when he has found it, when the sheep is found, he lays it on his shoulders. That's the care of the Lord. The Lord cares for his own. And I'm sure all of you out here who are saved, you can testify, God carries us. God cares for us. God puts us on his shoulders. I would not have made it. I could not make it. I'm sure you all can say the same thing. If the Lord hadn't picked me up, if the Lord hadn't carried me, I'm too weak to make it on my own. I'm too stupid to make it on my own. I need the Lord to carry me on his shoulders. If he doesn't carry us, you know what's going to happen? All we like sheep have gone astray. And even as sheep, we still go astray sometimes, but he'll take that rod and that staff and he'll chasten us and he'll get us back where we need to be. And so after he finds the sheep, he comes rejoicing. And verse 6 says, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors. And you have to picture this. This is a shepherd. Well, who would his friends be? Well, I don't picture a whole bunch of girlfriends. I picture some men here. I picture this group of men and this group of shepherds. That's how I picture it. A group of shepherds and a group of grown men, and it could be young shepherds as well. And they're rejoicing. These men are rejoicing over the sheep being found, over a sheep being found. But are we talking about a four-legged sheep? No. We're talking about human beings, whether they're boys or girls, men or women. And so verse 7, the parable is, the interpretation is, verse 7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy, more joy. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And that would be that group. They don't want to hear what the Lord says. or they rebel against what the Lord says. They complain about what the Lord says. What do you mean there's only one way to be saved? Who says Jesus is the only way? Well, that's what the Bible says, and that's what we believe. We believe that by faith. We believe it because the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit. And there's a witness in our hearts. You all who know the Lord, we know the Lord because the Spirit bears witness that I am God's child. Now, I don't understand everything, but I am God's child. And you all should be able to say that as well. Now, a lot of people will say I'm God's child, and they're not God's child. So how do you measure? That's where you need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to bear witness together that we are children of God. And 1 John, that's one of the themes of the book of 1 John, and we know that we are. 1 John says that, I don't know how many times, probably 20 times in 1 John, and we know. Well, let's go on to the lost coin in our last 15 minutes, about a little less than. Let's look at the lost coin. Now, I wrote out a series of questions here. I've got all kinds of questions I wrote out. So the lost coin. Now, first of all, I want to preface it by saying, I believe all of us can relate to a lost coin. Now, we can't relate practically, most of us can't relate practically to a lost sheep. Anybody out here ever lost a sheep? Well, maybe you have, but I haven't. I have not lost a sheep. I don't own sheep. So, you know, but we know the parable. But most all of us can relate to a lost coin. A lost coin, that is something that we can identify with. And what do we know about a coin? Well, coins, we know, are value. Coins are valuable. We need coins to turn into dollar bills. We need coins because those coins have value. Now, my question is, this is about being lost because we're talking about lost things. So this series of questions that I wrote out, I think I wrote it today, about lost. Do you remember a time, and you have to think about this tonight, but maybe later on. Can you remember a time in your life when you were physically lost? There was a time, where was there a time in your life? And I'm not talking about spiritually now. I'm talking about when you were physically lost. Well, I did write these today because it came to me. I could think of several times I was lost. And there's been throughout life, that's something that happens. This is something we share in common as humanity. All of humanity is born into this world lost, separated from God. I paused because I thought of Adam and Eve. And God came seeking for Adam. And God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" That's right there in the Garden of Eden. God came looking for man, saying, "Where art thou?" But back to lost. Now, all of us are born lost spiritually. But I want you to think of a time when you were physically lost. Now, it came to me today, and memory, I don't know how God works our minds and our memories, but I can remember as a child, I was lost in a department store. And I guess they called them department stores back then. I'm not sure. But anyway, I was lost. And you know what? The name of the store came to me today. And it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the name of the store was Gulf Mart. And my mom may have remembered it. I was a little kid. And I remember being lost in Gulf Mart, this department store. I was lost. And I also can remember, not a child now, but I can remember as an adult being lost. I think the last one I was able to go to because of COVID and everything, was in Washington, D.C. And some kind of way I got separated from the buses, the tour buses in Washington, D.C. And we were looking at the sites, and I'm over by Jefferson Memorial trying to find the bus. On my own, I never did find that bus. It ended up somebody in the family came and got me. Actually, it was somebody who was in the trip that was not part of my blood family. And I tried to call Linda Hill today, because Linda Hill went on that trip with me and my mom and my family. But it was Linda Hill that God used to come find me in Washington, D.C. while we're looking at those monuments and things. So I remember being lost physically. Now I want you can get in your mind a time that you were lost. And I want you to recall, what are the emotions that come when you're lost? Well, as a child, I was terrified. I don't know if they got on the speaker and said, Velma's parents, are they here? I don't know what was said, but I remember being scared. I remember being fearful. I probably was crying because I was lost. And when you're lost, there's that sense of what? Well, there's fear. There's you're petrified. You don't know what to do. You've lost your balance. You don't know which way to go. Now, that's how we are spiritually without God. The only thing is, some people don't recognize their lostness. As a matter of fact, we don't really recognize our lostness without God coming along to seek for us and to help us and to awaken us. Because lostness is our natural state. We come into this world separated from God. But when the Spirit comes and He begins to work with us, the Spirit begins to work with us and make us aware that we're lost. There must be that awareness of loss before you're found. So my first question was, do you remember a time when you were physically lost? Then my next question I have is, what is your disposition towards sinners? Now, I'm saved. I'm a saved person. I wasn't born saved. None of us were born saved. But today I am saved. And I'm asking you the question, what is your disposition towards sinners? And you may say, well, that's a strange question. Why would you ask, how do I feel about sinners? Well, I ask that because we want to make sure as Christians that we don't become like Pharisees, because the Pharisees, they looked down on sinners and they said, I thank you, God, I'm not like them. You know, and we have to be careful of that spirit. Sinners do what sinners do. And we were sinners too. And we still would be sinners if the grace of God had not saved us and called us to Himself. So what is your disposition towards sinners? In other words, do you find yourself sometimes saying, why they act like that? Why are they talking like that? Why do they do that? And some things that are being done today will make you say, why are they doing that? Well, we have to remember, sinners do what sinners do. But then we have to remember, I once too was lost, but now I'm found. And so that group that is lost, that's why Jesus came, to save sinners. So we always want to have a heart for the lost. And, you know, and especially what's going on in our world today, I mean, things are going on that you can't hardly imagine would be going on today. Well, sinners do what sinners do. How does Jesus feel about the lost? How does He feel? Well, the answer is He came to save. He came to save the lost. He came to seek for the lost. He told us to proclaim the gospel to the lost. So that's the one question. Another question I have. Do you remember, and this is another question, do you remember your lostness before you found Jesus, before you were sure of your salvation? your insecurity, wanting to know if I die tonight, if I die today, am I saved? Do I really know I'm saved? Am I really saved? Do you remember your lostness and where you were before Jesus found you? Do you see people as needing a savior? And we want to develop a heart. This is the last Sunday of the year. If it be God's will, we live to see the rest of this night and the rest of this year. We want to develop more and more a heart for sinners, because that's why Christ came. We don't want to look down on people. We don't want to think we're better than. I'm not saying any of us do that, but we have to be aware of that spirit. We were too lost. We were too sinners. We too did those things. But Jesus, by grace, God by grace, has saved us. And so you need to think about and remember your lost condition. Do you see people as needing a savior? And this is something that needs to be developed and matured in all of us, to see that people, humanity, the worst people, when I say the worst, I mean crimes. We could think of crimes and injustices that have been done by people. I mean, show enough injustices, but that's the nature of sin. And so we still have to have compassion upon the lost. Do you see people as needing a savior? People in the grocery store, people on the street, people in the highway, sometimes people in church, people at work, people all over. Just begin, Lord, give me a heart to see lost humanity. Another question, do you reflect on where you would be if God had not saved you? I think I already asked that. And are you aware that God saved you by grace? Are you aware that none of us deserve to be saved? It was God himself, who came looking for us. We did not go looking for him, not first. The first cause is he came looking for us, and then he stirred within us a thirst for him. And I can remember him seeking me. I can remember, even though I don't know the day, he finding me. And so we want to reflect on Jesus looking for the lost. In our last few minutes, you all think about a lost coin, and I'll say more on this, Lord willing, next week. Now, she had this woman, or what woman, verse 8, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. So I want you to think about things you have lost, and how did you seek for it? I told you about me losing that contact, and I have lost phones. And you lose your keys, and we be searching desperately for our eyeglasses sometimes, and our keys, and all of those things. I want you to get into the story and feel those emotions. Our time is up for today. Our time is almost up for the year. So I want to end our class in prayer, dedicating the next year, if it be God's will, that we meet together again. In the new year, we want to dedicate the classes to him. Father in heaven, we thank you. You have brought us to the last Sunday and the last Sunday school class of the contemporary Bible class of this year. We thank you, Lord God, that you have drawn us close to you. And we thank you for giving us an ear to want to hear what you have to say to us. We pray that your words have not been spoken in vain, but that we will hear and that we will apply, and that we will live, and that we will rejoice in Christ our Savior. Help us to be busy, Lord, being the ones seeking for lost sheep. We pray that you will be with us, and we pray that we'll see each other, if it be your will, in the new year. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
God bless everyone.
Man,
bless you.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New
Year.
Too. We pray to make it to the new year.
Yes.
Well, don't take it for granted.
That's right.
I won't.
You never know what a day's going to bring.
Right.
Amen.
Absolutely. If the Lord wills, we will. Mm. Amen. God bless everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I see, well, I saw a new name that disappeared, Mrs. Q Williams.
I saw
that. Oh, there she is. Mrs. Q Williams, if this is your first time with us, I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
If this is your first time with us, Mrs. Q Williams. He said yes. Well, we're glad you're here.
My auntie invited me.
Who is your auntie?
Marion Freeman.
Oh, so sweet. We're glad you're here. You feel free to come back anytime. And you could be anywhere in the world and zoom in.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless everyone.
Glad to see you guys.
Yes.
I'll be praying for you all.
See you. I'll hear you next year.
You all pray for me.
Always.
Hope to see you in the new year. God, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ann. I don't know who number 245 is, but bye, Lucas's. Bye, my mom. Bye, Sister Catherine. I don't know who iPhone is, but bye-bye, two iPhones. Bye-bye to you all. God bless you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.